It's time for the PowerMizzou.com podcast with interviews and analysis of your Missouri Tigers. Now, here's your host, Gabe DeArmond.
All right, welcome back to another week of the PowerMizzou.com podcast, and glad to have this week one of the more beloved athletes in Missouri's recent history, I think is fair to say, joining us, I believe, from the airport, Henry Josey, on his way to get ready to train for the NFL draft. Is that right, Henry?
Yes, I'm on the way to the airport right now.
Where have you decided to do your training, and what's kind of the steps here? Have you already hired an agent and all that?
Yes, my agent is Andy Ross. I'm headed to Florida to train with Pete in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, or Miami, Florida.
Okay, I heard an interview with you a couple days ago, and the number one priority was that you train somewhere with nicer weather than the current 17 degrees we have here. So congratulations on getting that done.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, first of all, before we get into this, I want to ask you the question I think most Missouri fans really want to know. After the Cotton Bowl, rate your coach's dancing ability for me.
You know, I was the one who got that started, so I couldn't wait to see it. But it was more surprising than what we expected it to be. He actually did a good job.
Hey, obviously, the feeling in that locker room. I mean, take me through what that was like. The feeling there, you knowing that you were done, Coney knowing that he was done. I mean, was it kind of a surreal moment for you?
Pretty much. I mean, it was so much joy in the locker room, and everybody was just proud to be finishing off the season the right way like we wanted to, just coming off of that last loss and then having such a big game and such a up and down and crazy game. It was a great way to win our last game.
And obviously, being a Texas guy, how many friends and family, how many tickets were you able to get for that one?
Not enough. I mean, I had a lot of people buy tickets. I mean, there's so many people there just from Texas and just from my hometown. And, I mean, I probably had like 1,000 people in the stands just there watching.
Now, did you go into that game pretty sure, hey, that was going to be it? I mean, had you made the decision before kickoff of the Cotton Bowl?
No, I mean, I thought about it, but that was it. I mean, all you did was think about it. And then like I told everybody, I had to focus on playing the game first. And that was the biggest thing, focusing on having a great game. And then I would think about everything after that.
Take me through then the days since Friday night in Dallas. I know you said you were going to talk to your grandma. We're going to talk to Coach Pinkle. What was kind of the process of those discussions?
It was stressful. I mean, gosh, it was probably like the hardest decision to make in your life with your future. And I sat out, I talked to my grandma. I talked to Coach Pinkle, and me and his talk didn't go too well because we were both shaking on the phone. I mean, we built such a great relationship with each other. And just for us to have to talk about something like that, I mean, it was kind of shaky. And but I came down to a final decision, and, I mean, I'm happy with my decision.
I know that Coach Pinkle has always said, hey, if it's the best thing for the kid, we want him to go pro. What did Coach tell you that you might be able to share with us as far as your decision?
The biggest thing is that he's going to support me. And if anything I need, I mean, I have his number, and don't hesitate to give him a call. But he's behind me 100%, and he just can't wait to see what happens next. And I just know I have his support, and that's the biggest part of it.
I know that you said it was important to your grandma that you do get your degree. Have you made any plans for that? I mean, how you go about that, when you might come back to finish up school or anything?
I'm still in school. I actually signed up to take an online class while I'm training, so school won't be able to wait for me.
Okay, great. That's definitely good news. Now, tell me, obviously we've seen you the last 3 years. You answered pretty much every injury question this year, but what do you think you have to improve and work on the next 3 months to show NFL teams?
This is the same things I've been working on, just getting that medical treatment right. And, I mean, this is the best I've ever felt in my life with my body. And I've never felt as strong as I felt now. And, like, that just progressed through the whole season. I just kept getting stronger. So that's the main thing I want to do, is go out here and get stronger and get ready for the combine and get ready to show these teams that I can play football the way I can.
Talking with Henry Josey, now former Missouri running back. Henry, was there a point this year, whether it was in spring ball, fall practice, you know, the first game, whatever, where it really hit your mind, all right, no doubts, I'm back, I don't have to think about this anymore?
Yeah, I told you guys before, like, the first hit I took, I got my legs took out from me. And then after that, the first big scrimmage, I mean, I knew that I was ready to play football again, and I was ready to have all that contact and just the hard work from it. I mean, I didn't have any problems the whole season, and that was the biggest thing. I just kept getting better, and that's all I wanted to do, was just keep getting better for my teammates.
When you look back on this year, from my perspective, three plays for you stand out. The run against Murray State in the first game, the 60-yard touchdown, the run against Texas A&M, and then the game winner in the Cotton Bowl. Which one of those stands out for you? Which one's the one that you'll really look back on as kind of your signature moment?
I don't know if I can say each one of them is so important. But, I don't know. Each one of them got better. I can say that from the first one to the second one to the third one. I would say they got better each time. So they all were just icing on the cake for me. There were some good moments. But I'd probably say the last one, just that last game was very important. And, of course, you want to send your senior class off the right way, and that's what we got done.
You mentioned the senior class. Was it a factor when you're making the decision that a lot of the guys you came in with, James and Coney, and a lot of these guys are also moving on, going out with them? Was that a factor or not at all? Was it just all based on you?
It's mostly based on me. I thought about that, but, I mean, you can't put that into the picture when you're trying to make a decision like that. So, I mean, I couldn't think about those guys. Of course, I would have been the old man on the team, but, I mean, I couldn't let that bother me.
You've talked a lot about – I talked to you back in August, and you said you had just boxes and boxes of letters from Missouri fans from places you didn't even know they existed. Why do you think so many people identified so much with your story?
Just the perseverance and getting through it, and then having the faith that I keep getting through it and keep battling, and that anything is possible. I mean, I feel like I've opened a lot of eyes that you can do anything if you have the right faith, and that's something that is, like, really important to me, and I just try to help anyone I can with anything they ask you to do.
The team you leave behind, obviously, on really good footing after this season, but, you know, Coach talks every year about the leadership and how that was such a big factor. With you leaving, with LaDamian leaving, with Michael Sam leaving, Andrew Wilson, James, who are the guys who take over that mantle? Who are the guys who you see kind of stepping into the roles you guys had this year?
Well, Matty Moss, definitely. I mean, he's somebody that carried the team for a while and stepped in and did a great job. The D-line also, they have some great leaders on there. And then Marcus Murphy and Russell, they'll have to do what I did. I mean, they'll be two great leaders, and they'll carry the team also, and they'll be two people that are just responsible for keeping that team together, because they've learned a lot from me and from what I hear from them. And, I mean, I guess those guys will do a great job. I still talk to those guys and have conversations with them. So I'm pretty sure the team will be fine. I mean, we've always had great leaders in Mizzou.
At your position, we know about Russell and we know about Marcus. We saw a little bit of Morgan Stewart this year. What kind of guy is he, other than maybe a little bit bigger than all the other guys in the meeting room?
He's a hard worker. He's in the learning process still, and that's something he wants to. He wants to be taught everything. He's a teach me coach every day. He's asking so many questions about things. He's going to be a great running back for Mizzou in the future too, also. And I mean, y'all can look forward to him. He got some crazy speed too that people really don't get to see often, but he is fast.
Hey, talking with Henry Josie, and obviously you're entering the draft. Coney Ely is going to get picked. Michael Sam, LaDamian Washington, maybe Marcus Lucas, maybe James. I mean, you guys have had a lot of guys go in the first round, but it seems like it's been kind of one, two, maybe three in any given year. How big a deal for Missouri football would it be to see six, seven guys have their name called on in the draft?
It'd be a big deal. I mean, just from everything we did through that last year and turning the program around. And then all those guys being picked up, and like that would be crazy for Mizzou, and then it'd also be good for them with recruiting and everything. It's just everything going in the right direction for Mizzou again, and that's the main thing that we want to focus on this year, was turning everything back around and getting that winning atmosphere back to Mizzou.
Did that make it easier for you to make the decision? I mean, you know, you're leaving a team that just went 12-2 and played in the SEC title game. You know this program's in good shape. Does that make it any easier to move on?
No, it doesn't. I mean, of course, you never want to leave somewhere where you built so many relationships and you have so many friends. I mean, these are guys that I'll talk to for the rest of my life. And, like, that play, it was a hard decision just to leave them. And, I mean, at times I got sad about it, but, I mean, I had to move on my life, and I wanted to better my future, and that's what I wanted to do.
We see so many guys. We saw Jeremy Maclin and Sean Weatherspoon on the sidelines at the Cotton Bowl. So many of these guys that have gone pro come back. Chase Daniel comes back a lot. You know, Sheldon Richardson, I think, might have come back this year. Is that something that's important that after you guys move on, you're still coming back and still very connected with this program?
Oh, yeah. We're going to stay connected. I mean, once you're a Tiger, you're always a Tiger. That's the same. And we keep going. That's something Coach Binkle actually lives by. And, I mean, yes, of course, I'll be back too to visit. And, I mean, it's just a great place to be. It's just so close to the family. It's like another home for you. So, of course, I think that's why the main reason that people always come back.
Last couple questions for you. Take me back, you know, 4 or 5 years. You're a high school kid being recruited. And now I know from dealing with a lot of recruits, every kid thinks, I'm going to college 4 years, maybe three, and then I'm going to go play in the NFL. But now you've got that. You're one of the few that has that as a reality. I mean, has it sunk in? Can you put it into perspective, you know, coming over the last 4 years and the fact that now you're getting ready to hopefully play in the National Football League?
Yeah, I mean, it's always been a dream as a kid to actually get to this level and get the chance to. I mean, now that it's coming up, I mean, you just want to work hard to actually get it done. And, yeah, over the past four or five years, I mean, it's always in the back of your mind. Like, I can't wait to just go to the next level. And now I get the opportunity to actually go work out and train for it. It's going to be, I mean, it's a reality. Reality is set. And, I mean, I'm blessed to be in this position I am in today. And I don't know, I can't complain about anything.
Put yourself in front of a general manager, a scout, whatever, maybe at the combine. Give me maybe 20, 30 seconds. How do you sell Henry Josey to an NFL team?
Well, he's going to get a hard worker. He's going to get somebody that's going to always pick his teammates up. And I just want to make plays and be honest. I don't care where they draft me at. I just want to get out there and work. I mean, I love the game. And that's the main thing. I have a love for the game. I have a passion for it. And I definitely have the hard work and ethic just to be able to get through anything and play every game that I have.
There's about 30 teams out there. If you just get to kind of – somebody hands you a piece of paper and says, all right, fill in your team, Texans, Cowboys, somebody else?
I don't know. I just don't want to be cold anymore. That's the main thing I've been telling people. Wherever I go, I don't care. I just want to play football again.
All right, well, there's a lot of Missouri fans that hope you're in the cold weather in Kansas City or St. Louis, but I guess they'll pull for you to maybe get picked up by a warm weather team.
It'd be awesome.
All right, Henry, really appreciate it, man. It's been fun watching your career, and good luck. Hopefully we'll catch up with you here pro day and when you're getting ready for the draft.
All right, thank you.
All right, have a good one. Henry Josey, former Missouri running back, and you know, there is a time to look at how does Missouri replace that kid and everything he did. You know, I know there's a lot of talk about whether – Henry is making, you know, the right decision. He's not a surefire first-round draft pick. But given what he went through, and I think on some level maybe this decision was made while he was laying on the turf against Florida this year. He went down, thought maybe, and he's told us, thought maybe he did it again. There is a limited shelf life for a running back. You only have so many carries. I mean, I watched as a Chiefs fan, I watched Larry Johnson, and boy, they NFL record for carries, and they rode him for about 4 years, and he just didn't have anything left. Jamal Anderson comes to mind. You see a lot of guys that come in and have a few years. That's all you get. Running backs don't play for 15 years. And, you know, Henry has used up four of them and has had one of the most significant injuries that I think anybody's ever seen on a football field, and he overcame it. And, you know, that has to factor into the thinking. I mean, how many more carries does he have before something gives out again? And so I said midseason, if he's convinced somebody will take him in a position where he's got a very good shot to make a team, you know, seventh round, you don't really have a good shot. Third, fourth round, which is, you know, Henry was told fourth round or later, you've got a good shot to make a roster. And if you can make a roster, you can set up a lot of people you know pretty well, even if you're only in the league for 2 or 3 years. But I think, you know, if he feels confident in his ability to make a roster, and you heard that he did, I think he really kind of had to go. I think it was the right decision for him and his specific circumstances. From the other side of things, the side of the fans and the media that have watched Henry Josie play, you don't see kids like this come through a program all that often. And I don't mean kids that run for 1,000 yards twice or anything like that. What I mean is a kid who universally, I have never talked to anybody who wasn't rooting for Henry Josie for the last year and a half. Missouri fans, non-Missouri fans, people who casually watch college football, you know, his story, everyone around here has known it for a year and a half, 2 years, has known everything that went into it. It kind of went national on the morning of the SEC championship game when Tom Rinaldi, who, you know, makes a weekly habit of making people cry, certainly did so with his story on Henry. That's when Josie's story kind of went national, I think. And you just don't talk to anybody who doesn't want the kid to succeed. And Gary Pinkel has said a number of times, you know, and I think this is probably the best compliment a coach can pay a player. Gary Pinkel said, when I have a guy come and tell me things are hard and he's going through tough times, I point to Henry Josie and I say, that's tough times. And, you know, what he overcame to have the season he had, to have the moments, I mean, the 63-yard touchdown run against Murray State, where he literally runs within a foot of the spot where he wrecked his knee. You know, that was the moment I think everybody said, if he doesn't get another carry this year, that was worth it. That was a moment you're going to remember for a long time. The 53-yard run against Texas A&M. The most important thing on that night was that Missouri won the game and won the SEC East. Very, very close after that was that it was Henry Josie's play that put them there. Marcus Golden told me after that game, I would rather have him make that play than me make that play. It doesn't get much better than that from a teammate. And then the 16-yard run against Oklahoma State, 3 touchdowns, most valuable player award in the Cotton Bowl in his home state. I tell you what, folks, it's the kind of stuff that people make movies about. And you watch the movie and you say, if that wasn't a true story, if I hadn't seen it, I'd call it a cheesy Hollywood ending. Great stuff. Henry Josie goes up there, in my opinion, just from a personal perspective, he goes up there with Denario Alexander as the two kids who I have seen come through this program to extend it to other Missouri sports, probably with Marcus Denman. Those three guys, a combination of what they have overcome, what they went through, the way they always dealt with us in the media, the appreciation they showed for fans and all that, those three are, you know, they're on another level. I've been doing this about 11 years, and Henry is on that level with Denario and with Marcus Denman of kids that you hope it works out. I hope Henry Josie, you know, here's his name called, maybe earlier than people are saying. Maybe not, but that's not a kid you bet against. 6th round, 7th round, undrafted, that's not a kid you bet against making an NFL roster. Because, you know, he said, I think the one that will always stick in my mind, after the SEC championship game, he was sitting on a training table out in the hallway outside the Missouri locker room in the Georgia Dome, a team that was absolutely devastated. And I asked Henry, you know, how do you get past this one? How hard is this to deal with? And he gave me probably the greatest answer. He just said, you know, I've been through worse. Absolutely, he has. Best of luck to Henry Josie. Really appreciate the time on the way to get ready for the NFL draft. We will certainly be trying to catch up with other Missouri players that are getting ready for the draft. We're going to talk a lot of basketball on the podcast over the next few weeks, but we had a chance to get Henry on, talk about the decision. I know what he's meant to Missouri fans, and I know that a lot of people out there want to hear from him, so definitely wanted to take the opportunity to kind of make this one his solo show on the way out of Columbia, Missouri, on the way to Florida. Glad to see he's going to get some warm weather and, you know, a lot of us are going to have to find another NFL team to root for, hopefully, come this September. That is all we got for this week on the podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Thursday.